Well, good morning and welcome to the Legal Checkup here on the Saturday morning WCNS Talk Block. I can tell you that a few years back, we did this for about 3 years. It was one of the most popular programs we've ever had on the Talk Block. I mean, people like to know about legal things, and today we have the two principals of Quattrini Rafferty's law firm, Dennis Rafferty from Latrobe and Vince Quattrini from Latrobe. You guys, tell that story. How long have you known each other?
Well, we've known each other for 57 years. We both went to first grade at Holy Family School, which is now Christ the Divine Teacher. And then we followed each other through all the different schools, Dennis.
Did you go to the same colleges or law school or anything?
Well, we went all the way through the public schools. We went to St. Vincent College together. We went to law school at different law schools. I went to the University of Pittsburgh. Vince went to Duquesne, but we roomed together for the first year, and then we each got married after our first year in law school, so that separated us for a short time. And then we began our practices, and then eventually, as our practices developed, we got back together and formed our partnership.
And now, for the last few years anyway, we have a new Quattrini in the firm and a new, well, is your daughter Rafferty?
That's correct.
And she's not
yep,
married
still Rafferty.
Yet. Okay,
right.
Still Rafferty. Okay.
Right.
So you have your daughter. Dennis Rafferty has his daughter. What's her name?
Jessica.
Jessica practicing. And what's her specialty?
Well, she's getting into some litigation areas. She's also getting into some domestic areas as well. So she's just sort of feeling herself out and picking out areas that she's most comfortable with. But those are the areas that she's focusing on right now.
And how about your Mike?
Michael is doing Social Security disability, workers' compensation, and veterans' disability. We can talk a little bit about that. It's a
sure.
new area of practice that lawyers can now represent veterans who were injured while in the service.
Was that never allowed before?
It was not. You were not allowed to be paid as an attorney to represent an injured veteran. Who filed a veteran's claim. And Congressman Murtha, God bless him, helped pass legislation about 5 years ago, which made it permissible to hire an attorney and get that attorney paid. Michael was certified, very few lawyers are, and he now is representing veterans both locally in Pittsburgh and in Washington, D.C., where they have hearings.
When you started practicing law, you went to work for somebody, a law firm?
Well, I started in Latrobe with Ned Nakel Sr. and Leonard Reeves, and I practiced with the two of them for a number of years, and then started in Greensburg.
Right, and I had, like Dennis, we came out of law school without a job, and we both were renting little cubby holes for space. And I was fortunate to have Congressman Dent's son, Fred Dent, Irving Bloom, and Morrison Lewis, three veteran attorneys who helped me get started before Dennis and I were able to financially afford to get back together again.
It's not that easy, is it?
To set up your
yeah.
own practice.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's real difficult, and it's getting more difficult as the years go by with regulations and just the overlay of equipment that's necessary and the logistics of getting a practice started. It's very difficult, I would think, for an individual to come out and just, as they used to say, set up a shingle. But Vince and I, again, separated for probably, I'm going to say, maybe 10 to 12 years, and then at that point in time, we started making our plans to get back together.
Go ahead.
I was just going to tell you a little anecdote. The name of the firm, Quattrini Rafferty, you can imagine all through school how everything's handled alphabetically. So Vince conned me into just following the practice that we did all through our school years, and we just followed the QR, so he got the first billing because of the alphabet.
And, you know, I know both of you fellas are Latrobe people, but talk about your dads. I didn't know your father, Dennis, but I certainly knew Vince's dad. Talk about your dad, Dennis. Well, what did he do? I know he
my
was
dad,
very active.
Yeah, sure. My dad went to college at St. Vincent College. He came from West Virginia, but moved up to Pennsylvania for his college years. And then following his years at St. Vincent College, he remained as a coach and teacher at St. Vincent and pretty much spent the next 50 years of his life actually working at St. Vincent in one capacity or another. With regard to the community of La Trobe, of course, that's where he took up residence and raised the family of eight kids in the La Trobe area. In the 50s, he started becoming involved in governmental affairs within the city, what was then the borough of La Trobe, and he got elected to borough council and spent double-digit, I'm not sure the exact number of years, but double-digit years as a councilman in La Trobe. The big project he worked on, I know when he was on council, was the flood control project. That was a huge problem back in the 50s. The floods used to be devastating to the La Trobe community. And in the 60s, through the Army Corps of Engineers and with the pushing of the flood control committee, of which my father was the chairman, they got a flood control project in place. And I don't think we've had a flood in La Trobe ever since.
Well, is that what I know is the Loyal Hannah coming through right through the middle of town where
right.
The little bridge goes over?
Right. Right. There was a huge 180-degree bend in the bottom side of La Trobe over toward the hospital, which caused water to back up when high waters hit the town, and it would back up all through the main section where the creek came at Kennemetal, and all the downtown areas would flood terribly from time to time. And it would really cause a lot of hardship to the people of La Trobe, and that project really was a godsend at solving that problem. And it's one of the government projects that you can wave the flag and say it worked, because I don't think we've had a significant flood problem since then.
Have you ever considered doing anything politically?
No. That's been pretty clear. No, I've never thought of that. Pretty well engaged in the practice.
Latrobians that have been around a while know your dad, Vince. Talk about him a little bit. I mean, he's been gone for a while now, but he certainly made his mark when he was here, wasn't he?
Yep. Well, I always say that that's where our family got our fire in the belly, as you would know from the editorials that he wrote. And like Dennis's father, my dad spent 50 years at the Latrobe Bulletin. They each had one place to work their entire lifetime. He started there as the sports editor when he was 19 years old. And many people still come up to me today and talk about my dad writing articles about them and how he helped advance their careers. I know that he went to the Masters with Arnie Palmer a number of years when Arnie was first getting started, and touted him. But then he became editor, wrote editorials on every subject you can think of, and I like to think of him as the conscience of Latrobe for many years, where he would hold people's feet to the fire, as you well know, on lots of subjects. And he hung his boots up because he was ill. He had pulmonary emphysema, and after 50 years, that was it.
Yeah, I know after he retired from the paper, a couple of times I talked to him and I said, why don't you write some editorials and we'll run them on the radio station?
That would have been
wonderful.
I
thought that would have been, but he just couldn't do it.
He didn't have the energy.
Yeah,
he really didn't.
It's a shame.
Yeah, I wanted him to write a book, actually, before he passed away, and he just didn't have the physical energy to do it. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the law practice now. What kind of law do you practice? What are the main areas that the firm works in, Dennis?
Well, we work in a number of different areas. We have 12 lawyers in the office, I think, now, right, Vince?
Mm-hmm.
We touch on a number of different areas. There's certain areas that we don't get into, but primarily we do a lot of claims work, and it works out of personal injury claims, compensation claims, the Social Security claims that Vince mentioned, and the veterans claims that we're able to make. But aside from that, we do estates and work with families with regard to their personal issues, estate planning, family issues that come up from time to time, and business issues. You know, we have a lawyer who's a CPA as well as an attorney within the office, so we get involved in a number of those different areas. So we cover a pretty broad spectrum. Our goal is to try to have families use us as their lawyers for all their legal needs, and if there's some area that we don't get involved with, we think that we're better placed to be able to guide them to the right people to see to get those problems solved if we can't do it ourselves.
I know when you talk about law firms and everything, that you two not only practice law, but you take what you have made and put it back in the community. You took over a school building in Greensburg, and how do you identify that building? I know it has a special name.
It's called the Seventh Ward School, okay. But it's now called Underwood Center.
Okay. And you've made it into an office for yourselves, or you have other tenants there too?
When we bought the building, we bought it with three other groups. And over the years, we've bought it all back again. We made a condominium out of it, but we now own all but one space. And an architect is still in there with us, Barry Morris. But as Dennis can tell you, we spent 25 years changing and renovating and going back to original ceilings, and we've been blessed to do it.
It's beautiful. I mean, it has an ambiance to it. You know, when you go in, you feel like you're in a law office. Or what I suspect to be a law office anyway. But you have that, and then you have facilities in Pittsburgh too, do you not?
We do have an office in Pittsburgh, and we also have an office in Latrobe at the Mellon Bank building,
right.
What was known as the Mellon Bank building, right. that Vince purchased a number of years ago, and we've put a great effort into renovating what was the bank space for our law offices. And we think we've put a great effort into all three places, both Pittsburgh, Greensburg, and Latrobe, in trying to put together a facility that we could be proud of and that people would enjoy coming to.
Well, eventually, the office in Latrobe, of course, was a bank. And you have a big vault in there. And I know there's an anecdote there somewhere. What can you tell us about the Mellon Bank building that is now... did you change it officially to a law firm building?
At one time
it was the Mellon building.
It was the Mellon Bank. Well, they called it the Mellon Bank building because Mellon Bank was in there, but it was originally called the Citizens Building when it was built in the 1920s for a bank. And over the years, different banks have been in that space. Citizens Bank actually replaced Mellon Bank before they closed down and left town. And the vault is still there. We have renovated it. And one of the unique concepts we're considering is that if we write your will and your power of attorney and you'd like to keep it in a safe place, we'll give you a security box in the vault, give you a key, and say, here, you can keep your valuable documents in the vault as one of our clients.
And I know the community really appreciates it because I've been to meetings already, community-type meetings that you've graciously let the revitalization and everything utilize. And I know you're involved with the revitalization in Latrobe, too. You want to tell us a little bit about what you're doing there?
Sure. And Dennis and I decided that, you know, that space was, it's very large, and we designed it so that it would have a lot of open space. We ripped out all of the teller windows, and so we feel that if a community group needs the space, we'll let you use it. We don't charge to have somebody use it. All they have to do is take care of setting up and tearing down, and not interfering with the way we run our practice. So we have had a number of groups in there, and that's kind of fun. My involvement with the Revitalization Committee is from day one. I was part of the group that put it together, and I've sat on their board now for some 6 years. and participated in a lot of committee meetings, and we projects that we have, I'm in the middle of and enjoy it. What I'm excited about right now is that the chair of the revitalization group is Rosie Wolford. Well, Rosie just got nominated for mayor. And since nobody appears to be nominated on the Republican ticket, she looks like she will be mayor come November. And as you well know, John, she's just a first-class representative for Latrobe.
Well, I've thought for a while now that this city needed a leader that could verbalize and have a vision of where Latrobe should be going. Not that the people here haven't done a good job, but we haven't had a leader, a dynamic leader, that can carry off some stuff. And I've seen her in action already. I call her mayor-elect, you know.
Yeah.
And we had lunch together, in fact, earlier this week. And it's like she's already the mayor and she's working at it. Of course, she's been on council for several years.
Yeah, so 10 years,
she
actually.
She knows where the bodies are buried and everything. So
well, and the other part that's exciting is that Alex Graziani is our city manager. He's got 15 to 20 years on the planning side of government. And now he is on the implementation side of government, and he can pick up the phone and talk to somebody from here to Harrisburg to get the right people involved. You know, between our council and Rosie and Alex, they procured that $1 million grant from the state through Senator Ward's office for us to have for the parking garage and to use for other things we need. That's huge, and would not have happened without them in place.
Well, you hope too with the county's efforts over there that they can kind of entice some people. I know they're talking about the possibility. There's some discussions about a hotel somewhere on Ligonier or Lincoln Avenue, somewhere in here, and that's exciting stuff too. But you have people going after it. I mean, you know, you
That's
have
it.
People in the city.
That's it. Yesterday,
in it.
For instance, yesterday, Rosie, myself, Alex Graziani, and a couple others sat down with Latrobe Hospital and looked at ways for the community and the hospital to partner going forward. You know, we will help you, you will help us, and we'll, you know, we'll both benefit. The community will benefit. That's really good stuff.
Well, when we do this show, The Legal Checkup, I know there's like something specific in each show about the law that we want to make people aware of. And we want to talk today about, Dennis asked, let's talk about mechanic liens. What are they, Dennis?
Well, John,
how do they work?
Sure. As part of The Legal Checkup, we thought that each show we do, it would be a good idea to pick a couple subjects that might be timely for people out there that we might be able to give them some information that might be helpful. And one of the things I just saw in the news within the past month has to do with home improvement projects, whether you're building a home or whether you're remodeling a home. And one of the problems that was coming up was one of the legislators was finding one aspect of the law rather unfair. And we actually had a case come into our office that had this exact problem. So it's certainly something that's occurring out there. A mechanic's lien is the ability of either a contractor or a supplier for a contractor to put a lien against a homeowner's property if the bills for the work or for the materials used in remodeling or building the home are not paid for. Now, that sounds fair enough on its surface. Certainly a contractor or a supplier ought to be paid for work they do or materials they supply to a home. But what's happening is a contractor can actually come and do work on your home, go to a supplier like Lowe's or OC Plus, and obtain materials on credit and not pay for those materials. You then have the contractor come to your home and he does the work and you dutifully pay him what he's owed for the materials and for the work that he's done because that's the person with whom you're dealing. You don't even know what supplier necessarily that he went to. And then within 6 months, if that contractor turns around and doesn't pay the supplier for the materials that were delivered to your home, a notice can show up at your house putting a lien against your home for bills which you've already paid and had no idea were not being paid by the contractor. And that is a horribly unfair situation for a homeowner to find themselves in. You know, you always hate in the law where people suffer penalties for things for which they did not have notice. You know, that's always one of the big complaints that almost rises to a constitutional level. You know, people are being punished for things ex parte, that is, without having any participation in the process at all. So here you have a supplier come and put a bill against your home, which you're now bound to pay because the materials were used in your home, but you've already paid for it through your contractor. And if that contractor is a fly-by-night person, you're left holding the bag. And I was happy to see there's some effort at the legislative level to correct that. But as a tip for a homeowner, if you're dealing with a contractor that you don't know very well or that you don't have much history on, you might want to pay attention to and get actual documentation that any materials used on your property have been paid for, and make sure that that's not going to happen to you, that, you know, 6 months after the job's done, somebody shows up wanting money again for something you've already paid for.
Well, is there any legislation that they're talking about or that have they passed to rectify that situation?
Well, it hasn't happened yet, but I noticed that one of the state legislators was publicly announcing that they were going to be presenting bills to try to make those amendments. I haven't seen those amendments come across my desk yet, and I don't think they've been implemented yet, but I know that's something that's on their minds, and it would be a good thing to do. And again, for the time being, homeowners should just assume that it's not a changed yet. And again, pay attention to the work that's being done. If materials are being delivered to your home, they need to get receipts, paid receipts, from the contractor showing that those materials have been paid for and not that they've just been charged onto an account.
Well, you're listening to the Legal Checkup with Dennis Rafferty and Vince Quattrini here on the Saturday morning WCNS Talk Block. This is going to be a monthly show for the time being. And we're going to keep going over different aspects of the law. The law is everywhere. I know earlier today, actually later today, there'll be a conversation that I have with Trooper Lamantia from the Pennsylvania State Police. And we were talking about some different laws and stuff that they're seeing a lot of now, like a lot of break-ins in automobiles, people taking purses and wallets, and then running out to a big store, buying all these gift cards, and then selling the gift cards for practically nothing. That's how they're getting their money out of them. It's getting to be a real problem. It's happening in a lot of places. You don't work on a lot of legal criminal stuff, do you?
We do, John. Well, actually, Vince started out, if you want some history here, Vince started out as an assistant DA in Westmoreland County and worked a number of years in the DA's office. And my work was primarily on the defense side as I started my practice. And we still do defense work in our office, and we have a few of the attorneys who do that type of work. So we still touch base with that from time to time, although, you know, you're talking with the trooper, we would be looking at it from the other side of the coin from time to time.
You know, there, John, along that line in the sort of semi-criminal arena, when an individual gets a citation that would go through the local magistrate, it can be a summary offense. That's the least serious category. But in today's world, if you have a summary conviction for, let's say, disorderly conduct, how about some other examples,
Shoplifting?
Dennis?
Shoplifting? Shoplifting is one. Any of the more serious traffic offenses sometimes can get on your record. Those types of things can run with you for the rest of your life. And I think that's what Vince was getting at. In this age of computers, nothing really gets erased from your record unless you make a concerted effort to get it erased. And we're finding a lot of times young kids who are out there and get involved in some type of maybe over-the-top activity, but nothing terribly serious, but they end up getting a citation, not in the traffic area, but maybe an underage drinking, maybe a disorderly conduct, as Vince said, maybe a harassment charge, something that involves something that when we were kids, you know, the police might just say, hey, you know, knock it off and get home, and that was the end of it. But today, when you get a charge for something like that, it goes into a computer, and when it gets into that computer, it can end up in Harrisburg, it can end up in Washington, D.C., it can end up in any background check that somebody might be running on you. So we have a lot of work that we've done with families in trying to work with young kids because, you know, again, an 18-year-old kid, maybe he's in a senior year of high school just horsing around and gets himself into some little bit of a jackpot. And the next thing you know, the college that accepted him doesn't want him because something's showing up on his record, or he can't get the first base at a job interview because, and he doesn't even know why. But what's happening is that somebody's running a background check on a computer and something's coming up and nobody wants to take a chance on them.
So what there is now available to these individuals is what is called expungement. And you can get that offense erased off of your record if it's been sitting there for a certain number of years. So Dennis, what would the procedure be if, you know, a young person, 18 years old, has a disorderly conduct conviction at the magistrate Mahades, when could they look to get that off of their record?
Well, there's an automatic right to get a summary offense expunged after a five-year period. So if they were 13, 14 years old and they were involved in something, pretty quickly after they turn 18, they can try to get that erased. But a lot of times, when you get those types of citations, you know, some people just run in, pay the fine, and think, well, that's the way it is. But there's a lot you can do sometimes in terms of the initial disposition of those charges, where you can have them disposed in a way that doesn't put something on their record. There's programs, there's training sessions and things, underage drinking educational programs that people can do to avoid getting that on their record in the first place. But once they get it on their record, there is a procedure, the expungement procedure that Vince mentioned, where they have an automatic right to get that erased after a few years. But nonetheless, it's always important to get it off as quickly as you can because, again, in this day and age, I think it's just increasing the amount of information that's being made available to people on
well,
anyone.
I know they blame it on all the media, the 24-hour news media, just looking for something. They got to put something on the air, and I know, well, we get to blame. The media people get to blame for that. And
well,
so some stuff that would just go by the wayside never would have made anything, and now all of a sudden you got all these things, including people with the internet and
sure.
Facebook and all that.
Well,
it travels so quickly.
Employers have a zero tolerance policy for mistakes. And so if a young person has made what we all have done, is made a young person's mistake, that can haunt them with many employers. And this is one provision that our firm can help you with. If you have that question, you call us. We'll sit down with you and walk you through it to see if we can get that erased from your record.
Well, I want to thank Dennis Rafferty and Vince Quattrini for our first edition, the renewal of the Legal Checkup. You guys are good. You've done this for a while, haven't you?
Well, we've done it before. And, John, I just want to thank you because
sure.
That's twice now where you mentioned my name first when you referred to Vince and I.
I got
to
go by
that's the that's the first time that's happened. And
Dennis goes before Vince.
Well, that's
there you go.
That's a nice analysis.
Thanks for being with us here on the Legal Checkup on the WCNS Talk Block.
Thank you, John.